This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Greater Cincinnati World Affairs Council will hold a panel discussion today on the future of Korea. And joining us to talk about Korea and its relations with the United States are panel members Troy Stangerone, who's Senior Director for the Korea Economic Institute, Jean Nam, First Secretary, Economic Affairs Section, Embassy of the Republic of Korea, and Audrey Hsia, Foreign Affairs Officer with the U.S. Department of State. And Audrey, Troy, and Jean, thank you for being here this afternoon. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start off by, Jean, just describe for us the state of relations between the United States and Korea.
Yes, the Korea and the United States is the allies, and then the Korean economy and the U.S. economy very much close to connected. And for example, we have the wonderful some agreement is called the CORAS FTAs. It was the went into force 2012. Since then, the trade and then investment have been increased a lot. So it is a so-called mutually beneficial agreement for two countries.
How big a trading partner are each of these countries? How big is Korea to the United States and the United States to Korea?
Yes, Korea is the sixth largest trading partner for the United States, and then United States is second largest trading partner for Korea.
Troy, I understand he mentioned CORAS, the trade agreement between the United States and Korea, and they started negotiating that today. My understanding was that went nowhere, that Korea said, no, we're not open to the idea of revising this five-year-old trade agreement. Where do things head from here with that?
Well, I think the United States and South Korea will continue to have discussions. As you mentioned, we had a meeting. It was yesterday in Seoul. Basically, the two sides sort of laid out their initial thoughts. But, you know, this really comes down to a couple different things, I think. You know, one is autos. We've seen significant growth in Korean autos, but at the same time, that's all been market-based. It hasn't had anything to do with the agreement. Basically, if you think about this, we sell 18 million cars a year in the United States. In Korea, they sell about 1.5 million. So there's always going to be this sort of disparity. But I think, you know, there are things when we look forward. You know, CORAS was originally negotiated 10 years ago. Things like YouTube were only about a year old at the time. So there are probably some things that maybe need to be updated. But I think we'll just continue to talk about these issues going forward.
Yeah, so technology could be an area that gets updated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Audrey, what are your thoughts on the state of relations between the United States and Korea?
Well, I think that the state of relations between the South Koreans and Americans are particularly strong, even after the transition of our administrations in the United States, as well as the transition of the administration in South Korea. And I think to add on to Jin's point that our alliance and our relationship is built not just on economic mutually beneficial gains, but also on the security relationship that we have built over the past four decades in addressing the North Korean threat.
Mm-hmm. How big is the Korean economy, the South Korean economy, Jin?
The South Korean economy is the ninth largest economy in the world, and then in terms of export, Korea is the sixth largest country in the world.
And your economy is over $1 trillion in size, if I understand correctly.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, North Korea has tested ballistic missiles. They make provoking comments all the time. I mean, Korea has been dealing with this for over six decades. How has South Korea managed to become such a thriving country, considering the tensions that exist with North Korea?
Yes, we are very concerned about North Korea's nowadays the nuclear and the missile tests. We are the based upon the U.S.-Korea alliance, we are now counter any action from the North Korea. For example, our President Moon Jae-in visited the United States in last June and had a wonderful meeting with President Trump. At that time, we had made a joint proclamation. According to that, the President Moon and then President Trump pledged to coordinate closely to achieve share the goal of the complete and irreversible and verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula in a peaceful manner. In that regard, the U.S. and Korea now is cooperating very closely.
Troy, the tensions escalated last month. North Korea had two ballistic missile tests. And, of course, there was the comment from President Trump that if they continued, they would see fire and fury. And then North Korea shot back that they were going to target the U.S. territory of Guam. So we had a lot of tension in the month of July. In the month of August, where did things stand? Have things calmed down to some extent?
We've seen a reduction in the rhetoric recently. And I think one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, when you look at North Korea, you know, it was probably decades ago the first time they said they would turn Seoul into a sea of fire. They've talked about turning Tokyo into fire. They've threatened to take and nuke Australia. They actually just made that threat again, I think, yesterday. So the North Koreans like to talk in very boisterous, very broad, very sort of colorful terms. And, you know, but if we look, there have been over the past, you know, there's been a few incidents to where you've had some exchanges of fire or something, or most tragically, the sinking of a South Korean ship. But for the most part, we need to keep in mind that, you know, the North Koreans use this rhetoric. Every time the exodus come around, they use this rhetoric, and it's just to be expected.
Yeah, and it's been decades and decades that South Korea has been dealing with this.
Right.
Yeah. Audrey, what do you see in the future for relations between the U.S. and South Korea?
Well, I think that we can continue on with a positive trajectory that we've seen over the past few decades. And as actually President Moon mentioned at the summit, we would hope that perhaps in the years to come that eventually North Korea would be able to experience a change in its strategic calculus and commit to denuclearization and to abandon its belligerent and provocative actions and its destabilizing weapons programs and actually join the international community as a responsible member.
Troy, what do you see?
I think that's the goal. You know, this is going to be, I think, given how long it's taken, it's going to be a difficult challenge, but I think it's one that's in everyone's sense. It's in North Korea's interest. It's in the United States' interest. It's in South Korea's. It's in Japan's. It's in China's interest. This is the path we need to go on. Conflict doesn't achieve anything for anyone.
Yeah. And Gene, what do you see in the future for the relations between the U.S. and South Korea?
Yes, the South Korea's the foreign relation is backbone is the U.S.-Korean alliance. In that regard, we will work together with the United States in the economic factor and the security factor.
Audrey, Troy, and Gene, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Troy Stangarone, Senior Director for the Korea Economic Institute. Gene Nam, First Secretary, Economic Affairs Section, Embassy of the Republic of Korea. And Audrey Shia, Foreign Affairs Officer with the U.S. Department of State. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Dave Shermer was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Caney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. This year is the 45th anniversary of what's commonly known as Title IX. The law signed by Richard Nixon in June 1972 prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in any federally funded education program or activity. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss Title IX's impact on colleges and universities, and we'll hear about the first newspaper to circulate in the Hamilton County Justice Center. That's Cincinnati Edition, Wednesday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.